So we won the evangelicals. We won with young. We won with old. We won with highly educated. We won with poorly educated. I love the poorly educated. We're the smartest people. We're the most loyal people.
Love the stupid people. Sign them up. And look, you know, I watched that press conference yesterday. Hey, there's something on camera finally. You know, I was saying send out a sketch artist. Since they're not going to do any more, you know, videoed interview press conferences, send out the sketch artist. Do something. As I said yesterday, before they did this, maybe you should just have a, you know, have all of the reporters show up to a mock press conference with a cardboard cutout of Spice Boy and Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and then ask real questions. And, you know, the cardboard cutout dummies will kind of give you the same answers. There you go. Anyway, yesterday, as I said, the big press conference, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, big full-throated endorsement of the Donald attacking. Well, just nuts. But one of the folks in the crowds lobbing questions, our good friend Robert Wiener from Wiener and Associates. He's the president there. They are a news and public affairs organization. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, it's such a joy always, and congratulations to you on moving on up into the TV world as well.
Yeah, it's been a big help for us. We're doing really well with that. But you know, let's talk about this big press conference. Were you surprised that Sarah Huckabee Sanders came out with really a full-throated endorsement? There was no couching of terms. It was full on. He did the right thing. He's a fighter,
and she's a woman. I mean, you know, it's just unbelievable to me that anybody could defend
what Trump did.
I'm not going there. but Spicer is a guy, and I think Melissa McCarthy has doubts about that. So, all right. You know, Rick, it's really quite remarkable that I have the opportunity to go, because you know where I come from politically, but with our op-eds that we write, we've done 800 of them in newspapers across the country with young people, and won the National Press Club President's Award last year for mentoring young people into writing these op-eds. I get to go there. So I did have the chance to ask Secretary Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, the big enchilada, about what I consider the false numbers on health care.
Right.
So I do get the chance to do that. I asked him, isn't what the administration is calling the $321 billion in savings from the health bill actually just reductions of people and benefits? Isn't it really just a takeaway from people?
Yes.
And his answer was inane. His answer was, well, people will choose not to buy. Yeah, well, if they can't afford it, they won't.
That's not the choice.
Whole point of giving people health care.
Yeah.
So that's what the whole thing is. It's a front. And I've also had the chance, Rick, just to catch up, since you and I haven't done things for a while. Rick Perry was the briefer on Tuesday, and I asked him, he came out, nuclear power. Okay, so I said, you're very enthusiastic about nuclear power. What about nuclear waste, where we haven't improved the technology in doing something about it safely since the 60s? And likewise, what about nuclear plants and nuclear plant safety? And I don't have to tick off to your listeners, who are really the smartest ones out there, the Fukushimas and the Three Mile Islands and all of that that have happened. And his answer was, well, France uses nuclear power. They get 76% of their energy. The answers, what you were saying before, the nonsensical answers that they are giving to questions in those press briefings, to me, is the most remarkable thing. But at least the media, including myself, has the opportunity to ask questions to put the truth out there and force them into acknowledging that they're not giving answers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the answer on the health care, and going back to that.
Right.
I don't know how with a straight face you can look someone in the face and say, you know, we're saving money by letting
right.
you die. I mean, I don't know how
right.
you do that in a with a straight face and with a straight conscience.
Now, to fix it is one thing. But the strategy today, Rick, you know my background. I worked at the White House for 6 years and worked for, before that, Conyers, Rangel, Pepper, Ed Koch. So I've got a Hill background. And now I'm watching what Trump tweeted out today and the projected strat. They know they're failing on the health bill. They can't get the left or the right to agree with them because the conservatives want to give nothing and the moderates want to make sure we protect Medicaid. So they can't get the votes together.
Yep.
So they're going to do a repeal without the replace, which is exactly the opposite of what Trump promised he would do.
Exactly. But here's the thing, Bob, and you're a guy who's been around a long time. You know, why would the Republicans want to do this? This, to me, shows how dumb he is. Because they've, in my view, and you can agree or disagree, in my view, they've already done enough to destroy the Affordable Care Act. They've created the death spiral that they've wanted by taking the money away, by undoing the ratings pools, by doing a lot of the funding stuff. They've already done enough to cause the collapse. You know, why do they want to then repeal it and then own the fact that it's going to collapse even further and people are really going to die?
Before you scare everybody to death, Rick, let's not go too far on that. That always gets a lot of Pinocchios. Actually, most people who get the benefits of the Affordable Care Act, it's doing fine. And for 6% of the people, there is that problem of access and death spiral. But it really isn't as big a deal. And the Affordable Care Act is not in a death spiral. That is one of the myths.
Not
it's
now.
One the Republicans want to perpetuate.
I'm with you. I absolutely agree with you.
All right.
But by having that constant messaging, there are insurers pulling out of places because of the uncertainty. And the last thing insurance companies want is uncertainty. By having all of this tension, all of this chaos, it's my view, and again, you can disagree, that they've already done enough to cause enough problems to make it destroyed.
Well, that's where they're going to have to go. And it's going to be like the doc fix where year after year they just ignored it and dragged it out. So they'll repeal it with a one-year lag is what is being proposed, and then it'll go another year and another year because they'll never get a replacement bill. So that's probably what's going to happen. But the reason why they want to do it is because they made a promise to repeal and replace, and they ran their campaign on that, and their base is going to never let them off the hook unless they do something. So this is going to be the we did something when they do the quote-unquote repeal.
Yeah, but you know the thing is you can blame a couple of Republican senators. You attack them mercilessly like they're doing to Heller. You run somebody to their far right, and you say, hey, we wanted to. We really did. You saw it. It was those guys. It was them.
Right. That's exactly what's going to happen. I think, you know, the off-year elections will tell us a lot. If we can have a massive wave election, then we can reverse a lot of this. And we'll be back on course. And of course, I don't think Donald Trump could win for dog catcher now with what he's been doing. All of our punditry was so accurate the last time, but nonetheless, that's what it looks like. And I do think that, by the way, the Comey thing made the 9 points swing that Robbie Mook, the campaign manager, said was the case because Wisconsin was a 9-point win, and then it went boing in reverse the minute the Comey letter came out. I think that these guys are in serious, serious trouble politically if everybody mobilizes and, hey, Pennsylvania, where, Rick, I know you have a lot of your stations, let's get the turnout this time in the off-year elections, right? So we can do something.
Absolutely. But here's the thing. In my theory on Pennsylvania was they didn't go for Trump. They went against Hillary.
No question.
Because
the reason they went against Hillary was the lock her up and the talking points and the Comey letter and all of that.
Yeah.
As bad as she was, she had 60% negatives. Trump had 70% negatives, and then the Comey letter reversed it. She is absolutely factually correct about that.
Yeah, I mean, but you look at
she was going to win regardless.
Yeah, it was the It was the Democrats who lost the election here in Pennsylvania, though. You can't give the Republicans credit for
The voters voted, but the reason that 10% undecided at the end swung was it was the Comey letter.
Yeah.
You can't tell me otherwise.
Until
the Comey letter, this election was secure.
So now, since you brought up Comey, a lot of the discussion around the Russian involvement, do you see this going anywhere?
The story last night about Flynn was organizing the gathering of the Hillary emails and he had a guy working for him, and that was no wonder Trump is protecting him and called him up even after he fired him and said stand strong. There is a there. People are saying this is the first concrete evidence of really the collusion. But you know, it's not just the election collusion. Everybody forgets the other point. It's the quid pro quo. It's the money that they get from that they got from Russia that Trump got to protect against his bankruptcies that no U.S. bank would give him, but the Bank of Cyprus, which Wilbur Ross, his Commerce Secretary, was the head of, that had $600 billion of dirty money in it. And Trump getting all that money for his real estate, which no U.S. bank would give him, is the deal, and is why he won't report his taxes. So there is a big there, and it's a question of follow the money. And the meetings and the conversations, I mean, my God, Rick, the lies about Sessions, the lies about Manafort and Flynn not filing, which is the law in their security forms, the lies say it all. So when people say there's no evidence, there's enormous evidence. They just want to keep saying there's no evidence, you know, the Trump people, and it's a hoax. It's not a hoax, and there is evidence. And the question is, does Trump know it would be political suicide enough to fire Mueller, to not fire Mueller? That's the real question now.
Yeah. Are you surprised, though, as I am? Because, you know, at first you had the Fox News type saying, you know, there's nothing there. He did nothing wrong. And then it was, well, you know, maybe, but he wasn't involved. And now it's like, well, it's even if he did, it's not a crime. It's no big deal. Come on. They're just talking.
Now that they're using that thing that that Trump said was a joke, he was trying to say it was a joke about Putin, if you're listening, hack Hillary's emails and let's out the 30,000 emails, which he said that was timed right around Flynn doing this stuff with this guy that just came out.
Well, let me ask you this, Bob, because
Trump had had a factual basis for saying that,
exactly.
And that's what he was doing.
Exactly. I mean, because I don't have a very high opinion of our president in his ability to hold secrets in. So I do believe
right.
It was a joke. I believe he threw it out there as a joke because
somebody planted it in his ear. But it was based on his conversations with Flynn.
Exactly. Somebody put it in his ear.
Right. Right. So I think there's a lot there. And the guy who's leading the parade on the finances is Ron Wyden of Oregon, a friend of mine. We were in the young in the Gray Panthers, and when I was chief of staff of the House Aging Committee, he was a Gray Panther. We've known each other for a million years. He's the senator from Oregon who's leading the finance investigation piece of the Russian collusion stuff.
And that's to me that's always the big part of it. You just go back to follow the money.
Correct. So I think there's an enormous amount there, and it's sad because this guy is the only one. 17 intelligence agencies say Russia did it, and here's how, and everybody tells. And it's like he ignores the brief. I can't believe he hasn't been briefed, but he ignores them and won't say anything bad about Putin and doing it. Now he's meeting next week, as you know, with the G20. He's going to be meeting on the side with Putin. And the question, and I asked Sarah Sanders in the briefing a couple of weeks ago, I said, so does Trump finally believe that Russia was involved in the election? What's he going to do about it? And where do we go in the future to protect against it? And her answer was inane. Her answer was, as you said in the beginning of the show before I came on, that these people's answers are inane. Her answer was, I don't know what he thinks about Russia. And anybody who got into our elections, we're against anybody. That's her answer. It's not acknowledging the incredible, unique horror of the conflict of interest of Trump actually having, and his people having had conversations with the Russians about reducing sanctions, which they've been outed on. The Senate now voted 98-2 to expand Russian sanctions. Trump's in a box. He can't give those two buildings away where they did the intelligence and went after our elections. So the answer was inane from the White House on that point, and it remains inane. And I think that all Trump's going to do with Putin is smile. And if he brings it up, it's going to be with a wink and a nod, so that Putin just knows he has to do it because he has to do it, but he doesn't mean it.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see how this meeting with Putin turns out. I mean, look, if he can't take shots from Morning Joe, how's he going to handle Putin?
That was Mika's point and Joe's point today. Exactly right. That it's scary. Boy, is Mika taking this like the champ that she is, by the way.
Of course she is, because this is huge ratings for her. This is huge for her. The country has rallied around her. This is the best. She couldn't have bought better PR.
Right.
Will somebody say I'm bleeding from some orifice?
I thought she'd come out on the show today and have Band-Aids all over her face, and make a joke of it, but she isn't going that route.
that would have probably been funny.
I think Spicer should have Melissa McCarthy come to the White House briefing.
Yeah, where is Spicer? I haven't seen him in a while.
He's traveling. He was over on the Hill. They're splitting up the briefings now.
Okay.
But if I was going to a guessing guy, he's probably, because they got the communications director slot open, he's probably going to get that communication director, which he's interviewing for, maybe take that himself, and maybe have Sarah do the White House briefings, but he'll spell her from time to time. I mean, it's probably going to be sort of like a transitional back-and-forth thing.
Yeah, because she just seems mean to me.
Well, the White House went aghast. The press corps went aghast when a few weeks ago she said, thank God Hillary Clinton isn't president. I mean, that's not what you say from the podium.
No.
Not from the White House podium. And she's still got that, she's Huckabee's daughter. She's still got that very partisan spark in her, as opposed to service to country, and that comes through, and that's the mood of the White House press corps. Is they don't like the fact that it's a it's such a partisan atmosphere.
Yeah, and that, and she's got that evangelical streak that I think puts her way out on the fringe of mainstream thought. Just my thought. Last question I've got for you then. You know, you look at all of this. You know, if you were an advisor to Trump, where do you advise him on the Russian thing? Because I'm of the mindset you come out and say, look, we're gonna get to the bottom of it, full investigation. If they did something, we're going to hold them accountable. Say, I didn't do anything personally. I had no knowledge of it. But we're going to get to the bottom of it. Instead of all of this, you know, this denial, all of this deflection, all of this chaos.
I don't think he can say he didn't do anything personally. I think he was involved. I think him calling Flynn after he fires Flynn to get him to stand strong is evidence of continued conspiracy by Trump. And I think the obstruction of justice is a real issue. I think where this goes, I don't think it takes him down politically because they simply don't have the votes in the Congress to do it. It's a Republican Congress, unlike when Nixon was impeached. It was a Democratic Congress. So I think where this goes is he is named, and I had a conversation with a friend at the Washington Times about this. He's named unindicted co-conspirator, and Flynn and Manafort are indicted. And I think that's where this goes. Then Trump tries to pardon everybody and, you know, and all of that. But And even Kushner's in trouble, and they're not going for some reason to Wilbur Ross, who's been up to his ears in this thing, which is why he was named Commerce Secretary. But my advice would be exactly what you said. Even though it wouldn't be true, he's got to say that he didn't do anything personally. He's shocked, like Reagan did in Iran-Contra. I had no idea, but we
don't
did
recall.
It. Yeah. So. That's what I think he's got to do. And I remember when Ed Koch, who I worked for, who's my first job in Congress, was holding a hearing at my suggestion on home health fraud in New York City when he was mayor. And he calls me up, and I'm on my bed after a shower, and I won't say in what condition. And he said, Bob, what do I say? And I said, say you're going to clean up the mess. And if Trump says, I'm going to clean up the mess, and it happened, and we've learned it happened, and the intelligence has turned out to be right, I think he could wiggle out of it, but I don't know that he ever knows how to say I was ever wrong and I'm going to do something correct. I don't know if he knows how to do that, but yes, my advice would be identical to yours to him.
Yeah, but fortunately he's not that bright, so we'll see how this plays out. Bob, it was great talking to you. Please come back again real soon.
It was a real pleasure. Thanks, Rick. Yes, I love doing your show. You ask the most sophisticated questions, so thank you very much.
And have a good holiday. Thanks so
you
much,
too.
Bob. Bob Wiener, Wiener and Associates. Well, check out their writings. Great stuff. We'll get a link at TheRickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.